next.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So today we are talking to Lebongwe Sithole about his business, which is, I hope I pronounced it very well, Siyagi Styling. And he will be sharing some lessons he has learned across his entrepreneurship journey there. And as they would normally say, that it is very, very lonely at the top. But Mr. Sithole, is that the case? Is it lonely at the top?
Definitely is lonely at the top.
Ah, wow. Well, we hope that today you won't feel a little bit lonely today. So hopefully it will be much. But how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the invite. Really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you so much for taking your time to talk to us as well this evening. I appreciate yours as well. And how was your day?
Quite busy, you know.
Okay.
Running a business is not as easy.
So, yeah.
But, you know, that we're doing things that we love. So we wake up and we hope for the best.
Ah, that's fantastic. I always say that there's few people in this world that actually do what they love. So you're in the top 1% in the world. Doesn't matter what the amount is, but you're in the top 1% that do what they love. You know, people in the creative space, I always say that they do what they love. You know, they are quite fortunate to be doing that. And to hear that you are also doing something that you love is in itself a dream. And you are certainly, certainly blessed. Thank you so much, man, for taking the time to join us this evening to talk about your business as well. Before you go anywhere, tell us a little bit about yourself then and who you are. Where did you grow up? Where are you right now? Where's your headspace?
Yeah, thank you so much for that. As you said, my name is Lebongwe Sithole, and I am the founder and the director of Siyagi Styling.
Ah, Siyagi. Okay.
Yes, Siyagi Styling. So I grew up in the Eastern Cape.
Okay.
Kadefa,
okay.
Was once known as Port Elizabeth. And I grew up as a church boy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're a church boy, your mother takes you to church every Saturday.
Yeah.
And they dress you up, they want you to look good and so on, you know.
Mm.
I remember when I was 5 years old, that's when I owned my first suit.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I just never stopped until now.
Okay.
So I grew up in the dusty streets of Kadeha.
Yeah.
I went to an Adventist primary school and then went to a technical high school.
Okay.
Around Newton Park. And then I think that's when I saw the magic in me. That's when I saw that I'm capable of doing something that I wasn't aware of, you know. So I'm a people's person, you know.
Okay.
People's person. Like I said, church boy. I'm affiliated with some of the guys in the Dasa Kadeha chapter.
Okay.
I believe so much in youth empowerment and professionals. And I believe in, you know, spiritual and academic education so much.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Kabeja, for my listeners in Africa who might not know, where is Kabeja and what does it look like?
Kabeja is in the Eastern Cape.
Mm.
It's in the Eastern Cape and in the way I'm a Xhosa.
Okay.
You know, Xhosa people. And
the people with that click.
I mean, Kadeha is a city full of people with dreams.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
As much as sometimes there's a struggle in finding the right resources, finding the right people to work with, you know, but it's a city where dreamers come from here and then they spread their wings to the world.
Yeah, no, I must agree. It's a beautiful city. I've been there twice, if I can remember very well. So it's a beautiful, beautiful city. Okay, tell us a little bit about your business then. What do you guys do? And maybe more importantly, how did you find yourself in this industry?
To be honest with you, I didn't choose this. It chose me.
Okay.
Siyagi Styling was formed in 2017.
Yeah.
So if I can't correct it, it's 7 years old now.
Mm.
I remember I was very good at just dressing up and just looking good, you know.
Okay.
I paid attention a lot to what I was wearing. Like I said to you, I was a church boy. So, you know, going to church every Sabbath, every Saturday, you know, you want to look good, you want to feel good, you know. And I really liked taking pictures, you know, and just posting. So the feedback that I got from the audience, from social media and people around me, it was amazing, you know, because I was doing it out of love. You know, I was just, you know, wearing nice suits, taking pictures, posting, you know. There's a lot on that story, but it's a story for another day. So I got a lot of reviews and feedback from people and, you know, a lot of questions. Uti, how do you wear this, you know? Look here, man, I'm going to an event and you're the only one that I trust because you dress good, you know. So what do I do? How can I combine these colors? You know, I'm going to a wedding, you know. How can I do this? Because my first ever clients were my friends. They were going to an event. And at that time, I didn't know what I was doing. I was just helping friends and, you know, guiding them and showing them, okay, you can get this tie here, you can get this jacket here, you can get this and this and this and this, you see. And in that event, they were best dressed, you know. So that's when I realized, you know, man, I really have something in me that I wasn't aware of. And I'm a very creative person. So I started the brand in 2017. At first, when you start a business, you don't generate as much money, you know, because I never studied fashion anyway. So now I have to learn the industry. I have to learn how to deal with clients. I have to learn how to deal with people. So until I realized, Wooty, no, I have something that I can do. And we specialize in, you know, helping clients to improve their images, you know, personally and professionally, upgrading their appearance, helping individuals to identify their unique style, you know. Sometimes people have the money, but they don't know what to buy, you know. Sometimes people want to follow trends, but they don't know what's in and out, you know. And helping people accessorizing and buying clothes that complement their body shapes, you see. So I help clients to do that, you know, for special occasions, brides, grooms. And to be honest with you, it wasn't something that I really was looking forward to do, but I saw a space, I saw a gap in the market, and I saw that there's a need for this kind of service.
Sure. There's a couple of things that you mentioned there, which I found very interesting. You mentioned that, you know, when you start the business at first, you know, you never make money. And 7 years later, you are making money. I want you to just that point, because a lot of us, when we start businesses, we think, you know, you take a huge spreadsheet, you've got projections for 5 to 10 years, and this thing will make $1 million in the next year, or it will make $3 million in the second year. And spreadsheets are really good, but spreadsheets don't always culminate into, you know, that money there. So take me through that. What kind of a mindset did you have when you started? What were your expectations, and did it really materialize like that, or you had to go back deep and dig deep to continue with the business?
So like when it comes to that, like I said, like when I started, you know, I also didn't care much about money at that
Okay.
time.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I don't know what I'm doing, you know, I'm just trying this thing out, you know. But then you realize, Wooty, no man, I spend a lot of time in this. I spend a lot of money traveling for clients and I realized that I don't make any profit, you know.
Sure.
So in that process, I realized, Wooty, no man, I'm not supposed to be paying anything for this, whereas I can charge the client for something, you see. So now I had to learn the industry, learn how to maneuver with people, because now, number one, I have to work with retail brands, right? So I have to know what's in, what they have on in store, what they don't have, how can I order it, I need to know the manager and so on. But as I grew, I focused more in tailoring. So I worked with the local tailors so much. So I was part of the creative direction of the process. Let's say we're making a suit or we're creating a dress or whatever. So charging a client according to their needs and what they want. So it wasn't something that I automatically got. You know, it took time for me to learn my finances, budgeting, you know, analyzing demand, analyzing the market. So good so far.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. Now, what makes your business stand out? I mean, you help clients improve their appearance, their style. You know, you need to know what's happening in that market. Is that what sets you apart from other similar businesses?
Yes. I would say so. A lot of people that come to me, they come to me looking for quality.
Yeah.
You know, they come to me looking for value. They come to me looking to be transformed, you know, because I really focus on communicating the value of my work through social media, you know, through attending events and through my personal style myself, you know. So I feel like that's what puts me aside from the other brands, because people know what they want and they know they will get it from me.
And what gave you the idea that there is a market for this? Is it that people don't know how to dress themselves?
I mean, like I said, at first, I didn't choose this. It chose me.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a process where people kept on coming and asking questions. People kept on coming and asking for help, you know. So that's when I saw, like, there's a huge space for this. There's a huge space. There's a playground that I can create for myself.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. I suppose creating your own demand as opposed to allowing the market to do that demand for you. And I think it's really interesting when, you know, when there's the industry finds you as opposed to when you have to find the industry. That can be quite very tricky. And I can hear the conviction in your voice as you speak about your business. I mean, you sound like someone who really knows what he's doing. So what drives you as an entrepreneur?
What drives me as an entrepreneur is, you know, when you grow, you always have ideas, you know. As you grow, you always have ideas, and you always try to find ways to implement them and grow in the process and open space for the next generation or people behind you, you know. I believe so much in community. I believe so much in brotherhood. So, you know, when you know there are people behind you and they want to be in your space, meaning I need to be able to be good at this so that I can create a platform for the others that come behind me, you know? So I feel like it's one of the things that keep me motivated.
You need to be good. Doesn't that place pressure on you?
I mean, it actually does, you know, but at the same time, being like, when I invest in myself and the business, being good, it actually means that my value is increasing by the day.
Okay. That makes sense. That makes a whole lot of sense. And talk about 2017 when you started. I mean, one thing that you hear from a lot of entrepreneurs is that startup, that capital that you need to start up, was very, very difficult for most of them. Was it the same for you? And maybe how did you even raise capital?
I think when it comes to finances, you know, being a stylist, an image consultant, it becomes very easy when you want to start. Because the only thing that you need is just social media. You don't need a lot of assets. You don't need a lot of resources, you know. You can buy those things as the time goes, you know. And as an image consultant, you know, if you have a PC, if you have social media, if you buy like small things like scissors and all of those things that can help you, you know, with your work, as the time goes, you can buy more assets like cameras and so on. But when you start, the only thing that you need is just your knowledge, your expertise, and social media, and having a social platform for yourself.
Cameras. You're not a photographer. What do you use cameras for?
I mean, before I started with the business, I used to do modeling, right?
So
I was, like I say to you, I used to come up with concepts, you know, and go out with friends and just take some pictures and just write about the items that we're wearing, you know, and so on. So I used to collaborate with a lot of photographers back then, you know, even now, you know. But, you know, as you grow, you want to take pictures of the clients, you know. I use my phone and so on. But, you know, the goal is having a complete resource structure for yourself so that you can do everything by yourself.
Makes sense. Do you remember your first client and how was that engagement? How did you even find them? did you fumble? Do you look back and like, yeah, I could have done things much better there.
I mean, you see, when I look back, as I mentioned when we started, my first clients were my friends.
Yeah. You
know? So it was two friends. So it was very close people that I knew personally, you know. So it wasn't very difficult to deal with them, you know, because they trusted my judgment, you know. So whatever I said, it went. So for me, that's when I saw Wuti. No, man, I think I really have this in me, you know, because I realized, Wuti, if I have to do this, I need to know how to communicate with someone. I need to know how to persuade someone. I need to know how to make them interested in something or show them another perspective that they don't see. You see, so for me, it was not something very difficult because I was used to that already. You know, growing up at church, you know, talking in front of people, like being in front of people, and like I said, I was a people's person. You know, a lot of people know me around here. So for me, it wasn't something that's very difficult, but in terms of implementing business structures, you know, I struggled a lot because I wasn't experienced when it comes to that. So I believe that, you know, when I started it, I gave myself enough time to learn these things so that I can be able to be as good.
Ah, fantastic. And is social media the main way in which you get clients?
Yes, I would say social media is the main platform that I'll get clients. It's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. But I believe in being my own mannequin, you know. So wherever I am, I always make sure that I represent the brand very well.
Yeah, so you take pictures of yourself a lot.
Yes, a lot.
you need to help people like me, hey, who can't take pictures. Every time I like take pictures, I'm like, why should I take a picture? It's weird taking a picture of myself, you know. So maybe we need to consult with you a little bit on how to, learn how to do those sort of things. So that's amazing. Typical day. What time do you wake up? What time do you go to sleep? You know, do you have time for lunch in between? What does your day look like on an average?
Being a creative is very challenging.
Yeah,
you know, it's challenging because you know, being like working with people and trying to come up with creative ideas to solve problems, it's a spiritual thing, you know. Sometimes it takes time to complete a task or whatever because we haven't had the like enough inspiration or so on, you know. So my typical day, I do not have a standard typical day, to be honest with you, but most of my days, I would say, I wake up at 6, right?
Okay.
And then I have to do some workouts, like 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Right? Then check my schedule. And then after checking my schedule, depending if I have meetings in the morning, maybe Zoom, maybe physical meetings. And then maybe I have to consult a tailor about a client that we're busy with. Maybe I have to go to the mall and look for a product that I had to look for a client. Maybe they need for a specific event or a specific outfit, you know. And then I take lunch then in between, you know.
Yeah.
And I was a student, so I had to try to work around that. So in the morning I had to go to school, and then after that I make sure that I attend clients or attend meetings or go fetch a fabric somewhere or go to this. So it's I run up and down like a crazy head, you know.
Sure.
So my day is like that. So sometimes sleep early, sometimes I sleep late, sometimes I don't sleep at all, you know, depending on the demand and depending on the season.
How do you function the following day if you haven't slept? Or you function by prayer the following day? Lord, help me to go through the day.
I mean, like, my friends have always pushed me to, you know what, you need to rest.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to rest. And to be honest with you, I've been trying to do so much because I realize, Oti, sometimes I get tired and I realize I get tired because I don't get enough sleep, you know? So it becomes shambles the next day, you know? I can miss an appointment. I can be late to a meeting. So it's something that I'm working on.
And just about that, while we are there, how have your friends, family life, personal life been affected by this journey since 2017? I'm sure, you know, at times when you want to have those boys what out, you'd plan, but then have to cancel at the last end because the client is called. So how has that affected your personal relationships?
It hasn't affected me much, you know, because, like, with my family, I grew up in a very supportive family, you know. I grew up in a family where, like I said, my mother used to dress me up at a very young age, you know. So when she saw my potential and when she saw my interest in this field, she immediately supported me, you know.
Beautiful.
And my father as well, my sister as well. So it wasn't difficult on the family side because, you know, when I need something, you know, I know that I can go to them. I know that when I have a problem with something, I know I can go to them, you know. So with friends, you know, in 2019, we started a gentleman's club.
Yeah.
So they get the industry. They get the ins and outs of the industry, you know. So we started a fashion gentleman's club called Imbana Club. So it's an organization where we learn about the industry, learn about the clothes that we wear, you know, do some campaigns and so on. So, you know, for me, it's amazing that everyone around me understands my world and support me in it.
Beautiful. You are blessed. You are certainly blessed. And days when you are tired, you don't feel like waking up in the morning. Like you said, entrepreneurship can be a very lonely journey. What motivates you? How do you motivate? Do you listen to podcasts or do you listen to some other Bible verse or something? How do you motivate yourself?
Yeah, I mean, you see, at church, I have a Sabbath school class, right? And so whether I like it or not, I have to prepare a lesson for the Sabbath school, you know? So waking up and reading a chapter or what, it really helps me to start my day.
I see.
So sometimes, yes, I do get lazy and I just fail the day, you know? But most times I try my best, you know, to get up and push, you know? Listening to music helps as well.
Yeah.
You know? I listen to a lot of a cappella and, you know, slow jazz. So it just helps me to, you know, get in the mood and just waking up to dress up for no reason.
Okay.
So dressing up can be a confidence booster, you know, even if I'm going to the shops or somewhere, like I always have to look the best. And I believe it does something to my confidence and it does something to, you know, to my mind. And I feel like those are the kind of things that motivates me, you know, and specifically and friends motivate me as well, you know. So it can be tiring. I don't want to lie to you because dealing with human beings is tiring, you know. Rejection is tiring, you know. Slow improvement is tiring, you know. But I know where I am, and I always pray to God to give me the strength to keep moving.
For no reason, Jay. Just wake up and look good. And put on cologne and something.
For no reason, like, to a point that people are just used at, like, used at it to, like they're used at it now.
Yeah.
So I don't even get compliments anymore. Those are like, ah, we know.
See, guys, yeah.
Yeah. I see a man.
Here comes the dreamer.
Here comes the dreamer.
Nah, I should try that. Just dressing up for no reason and wake up and feel like dressing up. Creative people, arts people, you know, there's a constant need to creatively come up with new ideas and all that. Do you have a bubble? Do you have like a roof that you look at? Do you have a certain time that you wake up when you're in the creative space? New ideas, how do they come?
New ideas, for me, they come by inspiration, you know. I'm a very curious person, you know. I think what made me come this far is being curious, you know. I wanted to know, how did this happen? How did they do this? How did this happen, you know? So that curiosity drove me into, you know, finding out things that I didn't know, finding out things that can help me, you know. Being a freelancer is amazing like that, because now I can do whatever I want, wherever I want, you see. So I collect a lot of magazines.
Okay.
I collect a lot of fashion magazine, GQ magazine, Glamour magazine, and I read a lot of educational books, you know. So I find that at when I do that, I really find a lot of inspiration when dealing with, you know, having a bubble to work at, you know, because like I said, it's a spiritual thing, you know. Sometimes it takes a lot of time to like perfect a project, whereas I need to go through a process, I need to go through a phase so that I can make sure that I'm happy and I can make sure that the client is happy, that the client is satisfied and I'm satisfied as well.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's really beautiful. What are some of the challenges you've faced so far? Or one that you look at and you're like, yeah, COVID, how has that affected you? I mean, you started 2017. Was that perhaps the biggest challenge in the business in the last 7 years or so?
Yeah, I mean, COVID was a challenge to everyone, you know. And for me, you know, when you dress people, now all of a sudden people are staying at home, like, they don't need you, you see. So that's when I started to, you know, focus on other things. Like I started my tie collection.
Okay.
So I collected neckties from charity shops and then I resold, you know, because I saw a gap in that as well, because I saw that a lot of guys that have always been into formal wear, but they don't know where to find the ties. So now this guy comes with these ties, you know. So I was like, I got it, you know. So I started my tie collection and it was going good, you know. It really helped me through COVID. So I had to find something, you know, that will keep me going, keep me moving, you know. And I think another challenge that I've faced and I'm still facing right now is dealing with finances. You know, dealing with finances is very difficult, you know. Like at times, sometimes I struggle differentiating between personal finances and business finances. You know,
I see.
So it gets very difficult because sometimes you need emergency funds and you don't have it because you're being impulsive and so on, you know. So I train myself, you know, I learn every day. It's not easy, it's difficult, but you know, we learn as we go. We learn from our mistakes, we learn from the lessons, and we try not to repeat the mistakes again and again and again and again.
Yeah, I mean, that's a sure way of disaster, right? Repeating the same mistake again and again. As we wrap this one up, what would you do differently if you were to start all over again?
To be honest with you, not much, you know.
Okay.
As much as, you know, I would say I didn't have it easy, you know, but at the same time, I realized, Guti, I had to go through everything that I went through, you know. So I don't think I regret anything. I think maybe the only thing that I would say I would change is spending less time watching TV.
Yeah,
you know, because I believe I think I've wasted a lot of time in doing unnecessary things where I could have focused on learning more about the business, learning more about the small details, you know. So, you know, time management and so on. So I don't think there's much I would change, but more like the mentality.
The mentality, which is very, very important. And so I think that that already is a game changer, yes. If you come to think about it. Long-term goals, where are we taking Siaki?
Long-term goals,
yeah.
We're going to Italy.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's big.
Italy, like sure. You, the goal is to spread my wings as far yeah. as God allows me to.
Yeah.
You know? By early next year, I'm looking at starting my website blog. Maybe we're looking at video content now, because if you see, so social media is transferring to video content, you know. So I'm looking at that for now, you know. But even with my tie collection, you know, I have something going on maybe the next few years. But to be honest with you, Italy is where we're going, you know. Italy is where we go. And there's so much opportunities out there. But at the same time, I believe in starting at home, you know.
Helping
where I can, you know.
Yeah.
I believe in community. I want people around me to grow as I grow, you know. So building platforms that will help other people, you know.
Yeah.
Building platforms that will help other people to get the resources that I didn't have when I started. Helping people to get the knowledge that I didn't have when I started, you know. Just to help and make a difference, you know.
Now, I'm fairly sized. So if you need someone to put in the bag to Italy, I just volunteer myself. You can put me in the bag. and don't worry how I will make it in Italy. I will somehow.
No, but look here. The problem is you can't take pictures, so I can't go with you.
Yeah, that's my problem. That's what I'm saying. No, it's fine. I get in the bag. Just dump me there in Italy. And I'm sure I can find people there that I can. But that's really big, my brother. And someone said, if your dreams don't scare you, then they're not big enough. That's really big. So at least for me, I find that a big, big goal. So that's amazing. Any satisfying moment so far in business?
Like, to be honest with you, I don't have like a satisfying moment, but more like moments. You see when you satisfy clients and you see that smile, you know. For me, that's a satisfying moment, and all of them, you know. That's why I do this. I want to see that smile. I want to see that confidence in them, and I want to see them happy and transformed, you know. So that's the main purpose of why I'm doing this, you know. So, like I said, I don't have specific, you know, satisfying moments.
Yeah.
But every happy client is a satisfying moment.
Now, I left this question till the end because I really want to ask this question, right? And that question is, do you ever go out ungagezanga?
Dingatini?
Ungagezanga without like... Do you ever just go out and be like, you know, I'm just going to go out like this. I just woke up like this, so I'm going to go out like this. Or is there pressure to always, like, even in the morning, dress up? Because, yay, that can be, that's a lot, eh?
I mean, that's the price I have to pay for my business. I always have to look good. I always have to smell good. You know?
Sure.
So I'm a working brand, you know. Like, I can go to the mall or go to the shop and I can meet a potential client. So I have to make sure I am always looking good and smelling good.
At 6 a.m. So, in the morning, you need to look good at 6 a.m. in the morning.
I don't have a choice.
It's an interesting life, this one.
It is.
Like you said, it's a choice that you made. So you don't have those days where you can just be off and just for no reason and have your hair uncombed and stuff like that.
I don't, because, you know, when you meet people out there and you're trying to sell them your product,
yeah,
they have to see it in you first.
They look at you first.
They look at you first, and sure. I believe that appearance talks a lot, you know.
Yeah.
Hence why, you know, with my business, you know, helping professional people polish their images and so on, because people first look at what you're wearing before you say something.
Yes, that's true. Sure. Yeah, I know. It's an interesting life. And finally, how can viewers, our listeners, in fact, get a hold of you if they need your services? But also, any last words to aspiring entrepreneurs? What would you say to them? Maybe some want to start, maybe some feel like giving up at this stage, but here you are 7 years later or so. What would be your last message and how can people follow you?
Okay. First of all, people can follow me on Instagram at Siagi Stylist. So Siagi Stylist is like S-I-A-G-I.
Yeah.
Right. So it's Siagi Stylist on Facebook, Siagi Styling. Yeah. So they can throw in a DM if you have a question or you need something for your brand or for yourself. And then you can just throw a DM there and then we'll take it forward. Right. Yeah. When it comes to creatives and what I can say to them, to be honest, I will tell them that the creative space is not an easy one, first of all.
Yeah. You
know? Just because I am talented or have the skill doesn't mean I will be successful, you know? Because one thing that I've learned is, as much as I have this skill, I need to make sure that it's sustainable, right? So I would advise people to, you know, look at every aspect of their business, not only the creative side, but the business side as well, you know, because you need to grow, So implementing policies, you know, how to deal with tax, you know, because I didn't know all of those things. So, you know, when you start a creative business, you focus on the creative side and you forget that you actually need to focus on the business side as well.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, spreadsheets and so on. So I would advise people to focus so much on their finances and how they manage their finances. You know, when it comes to the creative side, you know, nothing beats research.
Yeah.
You know. Nothing beats research. When you don't know something, go find out. Go on YouTube, go on Google, ask experts, you know. Get rejected, it's okay, you know. What's important in this industry is your personal life and you implementing your personal life in your work, you know. So curiosity, finances, I really pay attention with like to what I'm saying, like with this finances, because a lot of us are failing at that, right? Finances and learning how to work with people, because unfortunately you won't do everything alone, right? On my side, I also have an assistant. I have someone who helps me with administration and so on and my finances. So you know, working with people is very important. So it's very important that when you start a business and you're becoming successful, to not be greedy and wanting everything for you, you know, ask for help when you need one. I mean, it's a great industry, you know, it's a very demanding one, and it's a risky one as well, because like, you don't know when is your bad day and your good day, you know? So focusing on marketing, focusing on advertising, communication brings you tomorrow's clients. You know?
Yeah.
So like, no matter how good you are, you have to make sure that you are preparing for tomorrow's clients as well.
No matter how good you are, you must prepare for tomorrow's clients as well. Thank you so much, my brother. Really appreciate your time this evening and just sharing your journey and your story. I'm hoping that those who are aspiring entrepreneurs and those who want to get into this field as well might be encouraged by your story. So thank you so much and God bless.
Thank you so much for inviting me. Thank you for the opportunity. And it was great to speak to you.
Same here. All the best. Really appreciate it. That is, of course, Mr. Sithole talking to us about his business, which is Siagi Styling. So if you're looking for image consulting and you want to sort out some of your images, you can do that and talk to him, follow him on all social media platforms.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. We'll be right back.